So our first guest is Richard Milne. Richard is the Nordic and Baltic correspondent at the Financial Times, who has written extensively about LEGO, VW, and many other interesting Northern European firms. We invited you on because you've recently written a series of stories about LEGO and its CEO, Jørgen V. Knudstorp. Why did you decide to write about LEGO?
I think they're one of the most fascinating companies in Europe, maybe the world. They're surprisingly unknown at a sort of corporate level due to their family ownership not being on the stock market. And but as anybody who's a parent like I am to young kids, they're pretty much omnipresent. So I decided to take a look really over the last couple of years at their success and their rebound from the dead to now be really the king of the castle in terms of toy makers worldwide.
You know, in our next segment, we're going to be talking with a professor who's written about disruptive innovation. Do you think that LEGO worries about being disrupted by digital building experiences like Minecraft and others?
You know, I think they worried about it a lot more in the past, and arguably you could say that's what led to their near collapse more than a decade ago, around the turn of the century. I spoke to their finance director not that long ago, and he said, you know, FIFA 2015 or 16, whatever it is, FIFA World Cup on the video games, you know, it's a great game, but kids still want to kick a football. And, you know, it should be the same with LEGO. There is still that physical play. And so they insist now that physical play is at the core of what they do. Now, they're experimenting a little bit. There's this new LEGO Dimensions game. It's in this Toys to Life category that I wrote about recently, which is an attempt to sort of blur the line somewhat. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how that goes down. But I think at the moment, I think they would have liked to have made Minecraft themselves, but I think they're fairly relaxed that they didn't. To me in the past, but my favorite LEGO statistic maybe is they take raw materials that I think cost about $1 per kilogram in terms of plastic and turn them into different type of plastic that retails for $75 a kilogram. And, you know, that's a kind of alchemy that pretty much any company would like.
Another company that you've been looking into has suffered a very different turn of fate in that it's VW. VW, kind of like LEGO, is worried about this threat of disruption from electric cars. But their response was, you know, we can make a clean diesel. And that hasn't turned out so well for them. What have you learned about this? Because, you know, it seems to me that probably what happened here is that the management put really aggressive stretch goals on their teams as a ways to drive innovation. But of course, the effect they got was much different than what they were asking for. What have you learned about VW?
For me, that problem is a cultural issue. I wasn't around when LEGO had its problems, but I think there was sort of some cultural issues as well. And it comes from being, you know, VW is still basically a family-owned company. It's owned by the Porsche and Piëch families indirectly, but they control it. They've got 50%. It's based in this town of Wolfsburg, which is only a Volkswagen town, just as Billund in Denmark is only a LEGO town. And it creates a kind of funny atmosphere there.
I'd like to just quickly move to a third company that's so different from either one, right? We've been talking about LEGO, who has this very kind of warm people person, Jørgen V. Knudstorp, who is very good about bringing innovation out of his team, versus Ferdinand Piëch, who built Volkswagen by being this really detail-oriented car guy and pushing his company to achieve great things in an almost Steve Jobs-like way. How would you contrast those two companies with the innovation leadership at IKEA?
Yes, IKEA is in some ways it does remind me of LEGO, because it's this privately run company that we all sort of know of and have products of, but we know relatively little about the company that lies behind it. But I think you're right; it's a very different company. They have almost this sort of Pierce-like figure at the top, Ingvar Kamprad, who was the founder, who's really, you know, inspired the whole company. It's given the name, the IK of IKEA comes from his name. But he just had this vision of permanently improving things, of permanently making things cheaper. And I think that's what you see most of all. If you take something like an Ektorp sofa, I forget the exact figures, but, you know, it's sort of 20 years ago, it cost $600, and today it costs $200. And that's just by permanent little innovations of making it easier to transport, of making it smaller in space, able to be packed down better. And, of course, you know, all these kind of innovations that we now take for granted came about through IKEA, through some insight. Flat pack furnishing came about because they were originally based in Sweden. A lot of people were coming by rail, and when they had to take a table with the legs on, they had to pay so much on the train to transport it. But he realized that if you chop the legs off, basically, you could pay less to transport it on the train. And so there's this that's the sort of way that Lego do it, a sort of continual thirst for improvement, of sweating out the details.